Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church focusing the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the infallible reliability of the Bible, through the grace of his salvation, proclaiming the word of God from Jeremiah today, chapter 27. Jeremiah 27. Topic, the word of earth's king and heaven's commander awakens history. What God who made the earth, God, the Lord of heaven, what he says will be done, is done. His word saying, this will come, that will come, this is to be, awakens the earth, and history says, yes, yes, and fulfills every word that God speaks. This morning we're looking in Jeremiah 27, and I must fill you in on where that is in the Old Testament historic situation. Abraham was called, and he became really the first of the race, the Hebrew race. Abraham became a friend of God. Abraham was given promises. The promises related in particular to what would be Israel. And the promises included the two major features, that these lands were the, you might say, missionary territory of what would be a faithful ambassador for God in Israel. These lands are yours throughout all generations, God said to Abraham and to his descendants, as in chapter 17 of Genesis. These lands are yours, and through you, and your generations coming after you over time, through them, there will come a blessing on all the earth. So history proceeded. The Abrahamic race, the Jews, became greater, stronger. But God had an appointment for them in Egypt. And through Egypt they went in a time of famine, and they were turned into slaves. God rescued them, sent them away in the Exodus, so that they escaped in that dramatic and wonderful adventure, came to their land and occupied it, the promised land. But Israel turned aside. Israel wouldn't listen. Israel had to sneak in idols, to have other gods, other things, things which are more attractive to the flesh, things which are more interesting to the mind, things which are more congratulatory of man's effort, things which were idols, things which you get, you want, you have, and you glory in your power, in your wisdom, in your strength, in your false gods, in your wrong directions, and go astray, which they did. So greatly did they do this, that by the time we come to the prophet Jeremiah, not only is there a general idolatrous, blaspheming, immoral torrent of evil occupying the land, but God has shown them they are going to be taken away to another country. And in Jeremiah 25, but only for 70 years, only, yes, but it's better than 700. For 70 years, they will be evacuated from their country, sent to another great empire called Babylon. And there they would learn the meaning of obedience. By the time that we come to Jeremiah, imminent disaster and direction to their coming correction is there. In fact, so graphic is the situation not only for Israel, but for surrounding nations in the Middle East. Not only is there coming destruction, and it came, but there is the same sort of challenge to all the nations surrounding, so that to Israel and other nations, God says this, I have appointed Babylon. It is going to be used, you might say, for caning you. Babylon is being given power over all of you countries. Submit to it, put up with it, tolerate it, work in it, be peaceful in it. After 70 years, I will release you, and you'll come back. And so Jeremiah was told to take this special task. He was to take a yoke, an old wooden sort of a frame which might go on the neck of an animal that was carting your cart. And this yoke would be there enabling them to draw the cart with them, giving them this leverage, this connection. And so he said, right, Jeremiah, take a yoke. Verse 2 of Jeremiah 22. Take a yoke. Make for yourself bonds and yokes. Put them on your neck. And send yokes to the other nations which he names in verse 3. Different nations such as Moab, Sidon. Send the yokes all around and say to the people who are sent, thus says the Lord, I have made the earth, and I have made the yokes, and I have made the bondage to come. Now I've given all these lands to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the name of a famous imperial ruler of Babylon. And so Nebuchadnezzar was to come and rule all these nations and Israel for 70 years. And so he said, all the nations will serve Nebuchadnezzar and his son and his son's son. There's going to be a time of being imprisoned, of being under the heel of this Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And of course, many amazing things happened to Nebuchadnezzar, as you see when you read the book of Daniel. But for the moment, we're seeing Nebuchadnezzar in his powerful stage. And it says in verse 8 that he is going to conduct a camp, as it were, under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And those who refuse, who say, no, we will fight Nebuchadnezzar, we will fight Babylon, we will not accept this punishment, we will not do what you're telling us. He says, I will punish you with famine and pestilence, plague, and you will suffer. But if you will only listen and put these yokes on your neck so that you are willing to obey this man whom I have sent and accept this punishment, then you won't even have to leave your lands. You'll have peace. So you can fight for your own death, or you can submit, accept this rule and this ruler whom I have appointed for this purpose. After that's finished, he will himself become subject. He who ruled you will then be ruled by others. Verse 7, so all the nations shall serve him and his son's son until the discipline is done, until the time of his land comes. And then many nations and great kings will make him serve them. Everything has a time, an appointment, and you have got to accept, and I'm telling you, how to move through these tempestuous times coming from your sins, chronic sins, your rebellions and refusals. I'm telling you how to make the best of it. And it shall be that the nations that won't serve him, I will consume, I will punish. Therefore, don't listen to your prophets. You've got a lot of false teachers in your midst, false religious leaders, those who should be saying, yes, amen, do it. What are they saying? They're saying no. No. What are they saying? They're saying, you know all those sacred golden and other vessels in the temple? All the priceless things which have been made out of marvelous precious metals. All those vessels used in the services in the temple. They've been taken away. But they'll come back. And the false prophets say, no, they'll come back now. We don't have to wait. And God says, yes, you do. You will wait. And what is more? Those vessels, those sacred, those precious things in the temple, made out of precious metals, those that are left that they haven't taken yet, they'll come and take the whole lot. Not only are your false prophets wrong in saying, oh no, they'll come back shortly, no trouble. The fact is that I haven't finished. Those things that have been evacuated from your temple, things of enormous value, beauty, wonder, and sacredness, those things not only won't come back until the time comes, but the rest that haven't yet gone, he will take them also, the whole lot. So far from having all this forgotten and not important, it's going to be aggravated, it's going to get worse. Whatever remains that they haven't taken yet, they will take, and the whole lot will stay in Babylon until the time is over, in which case, he said, I will, if you read Isaiah 44, 45 especially, I will send a particular country, a particular king, his name will be Cyrus, and this new king in this new country will decide to send you all back. And we get a lot of detail filled in here and there and other prophets further. But this is the basic outline. So we've been dealing with the warning to the nations. All of you, submit. If not, you will simply fail to get the safe way which I have prepared for you. Stay where you are and submit, and it will be well. But if not, it won't. It'll get worse. It'll become more serious. Have a resigned spirit, ready for what is to happen. You have earned this punishment. I'm showing you how it may be best received for your welfare and peace. So follow what we're telling you, and don't listen to the false teachers, who are very like the false teachers today, who tell us that one world, as if they'd created it. And they change people's, even their bodies. They act as if they were gods. But we didn't elect gods. No nation elected gods. And if they did, they're very strange and foolish. We elect men. We elect women. We elect ordinary people. They are not gods. They can't tell us what our religion is, but they do. They can't tell us what our morals must be, but they do. And many people actually seek this. They want it. Not all. All, no. But many. And as these many want it and begin to get it, they then persecute others. There is in the human being and the spirit a strange thing sometimes. If you want something and it's wrong, and in your heart of hearts you know that it's wrong, that it's evil, that it's foolish, but you want it and you're going to have it, and then you try to get all sorts of reasons why you should. But some people won't. They stay as they were. Their morals don't change. Their God is the same. He's the everlasting God. Then those who rebel come to hate those who are obedient. They say, look at these people. Look at them up there. How proud, how important they are. They mock them. They persecute them. Very often they kill them. A few million here, a few million there. If they do it to the master, they'll do it to the servant, said Christ. And they become resentful. Look at these people. They haven't rebelled as we did. They haven't done what they please as we did. Look at them. So superior. We'll bring them down. We'll bring them down. And so in human nature, very often, if you go astray and refuse to do anything but rebel, live your life, make up your own gods, whether it's political or philosophical or gurus or whatever type, make up your own gods and deal with those who remain obedient. It's as if the spies during a war rule the country. So these false prophets. So the warning was sent by these yokes. And the result of ignoring is spelled out. Look at Jeremiah 21:10. I've set my face against this city for adversity, troubles, and not for good, says the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And concerning the house of the king of Judah, say, hear the word of the Lord, O house of David. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment, that is, judge righteously, and deliver him who is plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Be moral. Be concerned for others. Be just. Come back to where the facts are and stop all this fanciful talk in which you just indulge the follies of your own spirit. Ignore your God. You can't serve God and sin. Make up your minds. There is a way. Take it. So we come now to the fact that just what God said happened. The rest of the sacred vessels were taken. The other ones did not come back. The whole lot was taken. Jerusalem was destroyed. Fire was used. There was, therefore, this application to Israel. Devastating dynamic ruined the whole structure, spoiled the whole construction, made a mess of what was magnificent. They insisted on taking poisonous spiritual food and now the rigors of death. But they had the easy way out. Accept the punishment. Accept the deliverance. Bow your necks. Take it for 70 years. And as you obey and are peaceful under this yoke, then so will you be delivered. But they wouldn't and they weren't. They wouldn't and they weren't. Nevertheless, God's punishment would be all over after 70 years. And after 70 years, God sent another ruler, another emperor, another country, which beat Babylon, the Medes and Persians. He sent them, and there was this king who sent them back. It's an amazing thing. And we come now to look at the triumph of what God did. There are, in fact, 20 areas where God made a prediction in this little sector of history, this little bit out of Jeremiah 27. Firstly, Babylon, that empire, would in fact win, would in fact rule, would in fact destroy Jerusalem, would in fact cease their rule over it after 70 years. There would in fact be another empire which would displace Babylon. And this empire would have a ruler called Cyrus. And this ruler would decide to send them back. All these things were predicted. He would send them back freely. It states very clearly that he will not require any payment. It will be a gracious act. And he would send them back. He would send back the vessels. All this would be returned, all these things, to their place. The whole of the vessels would be returned. Enormous value, incidentally, in today's terms. Not just part, all of it. All of it returned freely. All of it, all the people, given the freedom to return. So, a number of things can quickly be noted. The vessels, all back to their place. The people, all back to their place. Which place? The place, as Ezekiel 36 tells us, the place which was given to your fathers. The same country. And he goes on to speak in particular in Ezekiel, that when they come back, it will be the land God gave to their fathers, and that's now, because the eventual return, as you see in, let's turn for a moment to Ezekiel 37, the eventual return is depicted as a lot of dry bones scattered over the earth. And they're going to be returned in two phases in Ezekiel 37. And you see the same things in Jeremiah, but this is a very vigorous one. The bones will rattle back from all over the world to Israel. And then God will win their hearts. Two steps. First, the bones rattle back as skeletons in the land. Then they're clothed with flesh. And that is what is to come, as Zechariah 12 tells us. And so all these various features, with various other scriptures to confirm. Israel back to the land of their fathers. Israel back to Cyrus, a new king. A new king in a new empire. And it will happen after 70 years that they will be sent back. Israel will come back to the land of their fathers. Israel will come back freely. There will be no charge. This amazing thing. This emperor of a new country will say, "You can go back. Take all your vessels with you. Off you go. You have my blessing. Go back and serve God in your own way." What a miraculous, amazing thing. But it happened. No more, we learn, are they to be speaking of the exodus from Egypt. Oh no, it's going to be the exodus from all over the world. And they'll come back to their Messiah, Christ. So the prediction is that after all the things described in 27 of Jeremiah have happened, there will be eventually a worldwide return of Israel to its country. No longer will they be saying, "We came out of Egypt by an amazing exodus." That will be past history. Now they'll be saying, "We've come from all over the world, and we've come back to our own country, and we're going to have our Messiah." That dates it. When this huge international return occurs, it'll be at the time of the Messiah. There'll be a preliminary, and then, as when all the bones came rattling back in that picture, in that parable, but then there'll be a spiritual change as well to go with it. And we are now, after the bones are sent, just before the spiritual change to Israel is to occur. We're in the interval between command number one, bones rattle back, and command number two, now the Spirit, may the Spirit be upon you with a new covenant. So all these various things come, 20 of them, all happened or about to happen, nearly all of them already done. Now there are one or two things I would like to look at with a little detail. One we will find in Jeremiah 13. Here Jeremiah, before the destruction, Jeremiah was just before it and just during it, has a word to say to the king of Israel. Hear and give ear, verse 15 of chapter 13 of Jeremiah. Hear and give ear. Don't be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God, before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains. And while you're looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul will weep for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock has been taken. Say to the king, verse 18 of chapter 13 of Jeremiah, say to the king, to the queen mother, humble yourselves, sit down, for your rule shall collapse. The crown of your glory, the cities of the south shall be shut up, and no one shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive. All of it shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes and see those who come from the north. Where is the flock that was given to you, your beautiful sheep? What do you say when he punishes you? For you have taught them to be chieftains and to be head over you. Will not pangs seize you? And so was all this wrongful rule, this foolish, idolatrous, rushing about into ruin and rebellion, when all that is done. What pity is mixed with this punishment? Going back to 13:16, give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness. And that is said to the nations now. That is said to people now. Give glory to the Lord before ruin is the result. And the world says, no, 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 no. So ruin is the result. Eventually, heaven and earth depart, as Peter tells us. While they are looking for light, show us what to do. How will we fulfill our lives the way we want them? Take over the world. We'll rule everybody and everything. But what'll become of us? Give glory to God is what should become of you. No, we won't. We'll give glory to Mao. We'll give glory to Hitler. We'll give glory to Stalin. We'll give glory to those pasts, intoxicated, unspiritual human situations. We'll give glory to our present rulers. We'll give glory to those who tell us which God to worship and how and when. We'll give glory to them. We'll obey them. Well, if that is what you want, that is what you shall get. And what can be more cruel than someone serving an idol? In the old days, they would take little children and put them into the red-hot arms or white-hot of idols that they might frizzle as an offering to the false gods. And now our youth are taught not to worship God, to have everything come from nothing and go nowhere, and nevertheless to have a dream that it will be wonderful, a brave new world. Alas, its courage is beginning to seep. Just one plague is enough to worry it exceedingly. not to mention all its wars and its famines and its earthquakes and its upsets. And the Jews, back as promised. They have endured not 70 years this time, but 1900 odd. Everything ready. And the pity of God. Give glory to God before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains. Translating that into the present, to the terms of Jesus, what do we have? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that slayest the prophet, how often will I have gathered your people together? That's what Christ himself said to Jerusalem of his time. I would have gathered your chickens under my wings, but you wouldn't. How often would I have gathered you to me, but you refused? So Jerusalem was destroyed a generation after Christ, just as he predicted. But all that side is finished. As God says, I will rebuild you just as I brought you down, so I will rebuild you. Jeremiah 31:28. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them, to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy and to afflict, so I'll now watch over them, to build and to plant. So there is this new, the major discipline on Israel is past. And God is going to rebuild them. And one sure signal is what is happening now. He is rebuilding them. He is making arrangements. He is giving them power. He is giving them victories because he said so. There's a time to punish and there's a time to bless, and this is the time to bless. And that is a signal. That is the point. That is a signal. Just as the atomic bomb was a signal prophesied in Joel in its huge column of vapor for its importance. And that signal is such that Christ, of course, has said to us, well, when you see Jerusalem back in the hands of the Jews of my people, then the end is near. The coming of Christ to rule is near. It has happened. It is near. What a wonderful thing it is. This word of God. I would have you look with me at Isaiah 41. God says to Israel, and of course he says the same to the world, see, I say and do. There's nothing else like it. There's no one else like it. You should listen. Verse 21 of chapter 41 of Isaiah. 41:21. Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. You try predicting the future. Go on. Let's have a contest. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things what they were, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. God says, go on. You know so much. Start teaching me. You start telling me what's going to happen. You start telling me the way to go. You do it. Go on. You're so clever. Then you tell us all these things and let them happen and let us see in a competitive contest who has it and who lacks it. Show us things that they come hereafter, verse 23, that we may know that you are gods. You are acting like gods, God says to them. So let us see you have the power. Let us see you tell the world what it's going to do and have history obey. That's what God does. Yes, do good, do evil. Show how great you are. Say, here is goodness. I will invent goodness. Here is evil. I will invent evil. Have your own good and evil. Make up your own morals. Muck up my morals. And congratulate yourselves on your greatness. This challenge is such a beauty and a marvel. Not the smallest part of the prophecies, Christ said, will fail. Matthew 5, chapter verses 17, following. Everything I say, God says, happens and will happen, and nobody else can do it. Wake up! And Christ, applying that in the gospel, come unto me, all ye that labor. Why die? Why would you die? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, he says over and over. And you see that in Jeremiah 13. I have no pleasure in this. Turn! Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for the wonderful pity, peace, the way out, the way on, the redemption in Jesus Christ. To what pains you have gone to show us you are faithful, you are true, you are reliable, you have power, you know the truth and you show it, and you have mercy and we know it. And it's the gospel. How often, not just to Israel, but to this world, a large-scale version. Our Father, how we praise thee that this pity, that the gospel, why inherit darkness? How we praise thee that we inherit light in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.